I want to welcome everybody to this week's episode of In the Rough with JB and Golfer Gal. I'm your host, JB, and alongside Golfer Gal, we have a great show for you. We have a special guest coming on in a little while to talk a whole lot about his company, as well as answer questions from some of our readers. We have contest announcements to make and to name a winner. But before we get to all that, I want to bring in my co-host for each and every one of these adventures, and that is Golfer Gal.
Hey, everybody. The contest was so much fun, and we ended up cooking all of the meals. And there's actually a couple in there that I think will be permanently in our rotation of meals that we cook each week, or, you know, every other week. And the thing that surprised me the most and I was really happy about was that everything was super easy to make, which is nice because I can get really lazy, and if there's too many ingredients or too many steps, I probably won't make it again.
I agree. The food was actually really good. I'm waiting for the next contest, which is your top five deep fried meals.
I think we should do desserts.
Yeah, that would probably be good as well. But yeah, later on in the show, we will be announcing the winner.
Yes.
It was a tough contest. We actually cooked each of the five meals.
We
put pictures up on the site. And I really think that, like you said, there's a couple of these that might be in our actual rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a couple tweaks here and there just to make it our taste. But overall, I absolutely see them being in our rotation.
So we want to thank everybody who entered this
yes,
one, as well as definitely
you.
The five finalists.
Absolutely.
We do, like I mentioned, we have a special guest this week.
Yes, we have a very special guest from Seymour Putters coming on the show. And our readers, our listeners, they've all started to become huge fans of Seymour. And we saw it a lot at the THP Florida outing when some people who had never even heard of Seymour before had a chance to take him out to the putting green. And so far, everybody seems to be converted now.
It seems to be that way. You know, when we started this, we didn't set out to convert people to anything
No, not at all.
But, you know, it seems to have a cult-like following almost.
I think so. And it's just, it's a simple concept that just works.
That's exactly right. And when you add the customer service that most people have experienced with them, with their kind understanding and helpful help, I guess
yeah.
is the right word, combine that with a quality product, you usually have a winner. And I know that there's a lot of golf companies like that out there. This is just one we've dealt with quite a bit, and we're very happy to have them on.
This week we have a special guest with us, and his name is Ted from Seymour Putters. And we know that the readers and listeners of the Hacker's Paradise have been raving about your putters and your equipment for quite some time, as have I and all the reviews I've done. So we just wanted to have you on the radio show and welcome.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate everything that you and your staff and the Hacker's Paradise does for Seymour and just really just golf in general. It's a great site to go to learn about equipment, just to learn about golf in general from the, you know, the higher handicap all the way down to the tour pro. So it's a wonderful piece of media that people can use and take advantage of.
Thank you.
Well, we've gotten to know you a little bit, and we're gonna bring you into some, you know, kind of in-the-know commentary that we've had on the radio show recently, and that was a couple weeks ago we announced a contest for What's for Dinner, because basically what it came down to is Golfer Gal says that she wants to eat healthier, and I say I want her to eat more fattening. So we had a little contest where people submitted recipes that were better for you than I would eat, and we made them all week, and we're going to announce
still tasty.
Yeah, still tasty, and we're going to announce the winner at the end of the show. But will you, as a person who actually sent the Hacker's Paradise baby back ribs, will you come on and confirm the fact that she's certifiably crazy and that fried foods and barbecue and those things are good?
I would not recommend doing that.
There's nothing like good barbecue from the South, where you add a little bit of dry rub. Or if you have the wet, feel free to use that as well. You have a little now off to the side. You have a little sausage plate with cheese and crackers dipped into that sauce and to the rub as well. It's a nice little appetizer to before you dig into the ribs. Pork is more my style. Some people do like beef and beef brisket, but pork barbecue is fantastic with a little bit of slaw on top or slaw on the side of nice potato salad. And you can't go wrong. I mean, there's no way you can go wrong with that type of meal. You can have it for lunch, dinner, and I know some people have it for a breakfast.
That sounds delicious.
Did you guys talk before the show and wanted to come on and do this just to try and convert me?
No.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
We're telling you that you're the crazy one.
I can't. You
know what? That's two men against one woman. I don't believe it. I don't buy it.
Well, that's because you're clearly wrong, and right. Ted and I are both right.
Hey, I like barbecue. I don't know that I can eat it for breakfast. Lunch and dinner, sure.
Oh my God, breakfast? Dude, that's even better.
No, you guys have lost me there. Let's talk
about
clutter.
You're in hog heaven. Hog heaven, no pun intended.
What was that, golfer guy? You wanted to talk about putters?
I said, let's talk about putters.
Okay. You know, why don't we jump in and we'll give Seymour here the questions that we got from the forum, some good, some funny. I'll start off. We had a question from OEM Kevin, and the question actually wasn't from him. Apparently, he bought an M8 putter, and the putter itself had a question. And the putter asks, I want to know when I can have a custom Dallas Cowboys head cover. It's very important.
You know, that's a good question.
I didn't realize that your guys' putters could speak.
No.
That's why they're so magical.
It tells them to go into the hole, make the putt. Very simple. No, I mean, we're still being a small company and trying to do as much custom as possible, from length of lie to putter grip. Head covers are, you know, we know that is on our list to do. We're trying just to gain momentum with the putters itself. And we try every now and then to throw in a little dash here and there with the head covers. I mean, one thing really with the Dallas, it's hard to do those type of logos because we're such a small company. We don't have the rights to do the NFL, MLB, NCAA. So maybe it might be something along the lines where we might can get their colors and maybe, you know, do a line of Dallas Cowboy colors where they're, you know, they might fit into that Dallas Cowboy scheme along with some other teams as well. But for the actual star, it might be a little bit too much for us at this time. But hopefully maybe something in the future, you can tell that M8 putter of yours.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. He's already purchased one, so he's a customer. I mean, and I'm going to offend some listeners here, but wouldn't you want a winner on the head cover and not somebody like Tony Romo or the Dallas Cowboys?
Like the Gators.
No.
You're bad.
Golfer Gal, why don't you give him another question?
All right. This question comes from Thanks 1974. He wants to know, how does Seymour go about marketing itself and its products to the players on the major tours?
Great question. Being, again, a small company, we don't pay anyone to use the putters at all, from the top players all the way down to the mini tour players. We hope that hopefully when you use a Seymour putter, we help you make more putts, which will help you make more money. A lot of players see that, and we try to be out there every week, either on the Nationwide Tour, the PGA Tour, the LPGA Tour, with our tour bags to help promote the brand, but also give them a system to learn off of. A system of hiding the red dot hopefully allows that player to be in the same place every single time. And usually what you find is the players are the ones that are our best advocates in promoting the putter themselves. They're the ones that stand out from all the rest when they make putts or win events or come very close. Those other players want to try to emulate what they're doing, because we believe the hardest stroke out there is the putting stroke. And somebody needs to be the leader in teaching the stroke and to giving them confidence on how to make the perfect stroke and the perfect alignment. So with that being said, we don't have a whole lot of money-wise to do anything other than marketing in periodicals, magazines, online. But with the players, we try to have the putter speak for itself, almost as if actions are a bit louder than words. And those are the guys who make the big putts, like Payne Stewart making his putt in the 99 U.S. Open. That was just unbelievable for Payne, but also for the company. And then with Zach Johnson winning the 07 Masters, the number of putts, the birdies he made on that final round. And in fact, he's won, I think, I might be wrong, but had the most 60s in the last 3 or 4 years or something like that, shooting 60. So, you know, it's hard to be a small company out there among the bigger companies, but you just hold your time and have those players approach you and try to once you have their attention, tell them the benefits of why the putter works the best.
This question is from Hawk308. What are the differences or benefits of using a whistle-shafted putter? I seem to putt better with one, but I'm curious as to what type of stroke it complements.
That's another good question. Seymour's based off of a straight shaft, meaning you don't have any variables whatsoever when you have a straight shaft in your hand. And so when you hide that red dot and see the two white lines, that straight shaft puts you in the same spot every single time, meaning your shoulders, your hips, your feet are all square to your intended target line, and the red dot does that. It also makes sure that the ball's in the same position every single time. So if I can tell you that I have a putter that can put you in the same place every single time, put you in the same ball position every single time, hopefully you're going to make the same stroke every single time, which will lead to having you a much more consistent stroke, consistent setup. Now, with that being said, the offset shaft, if you look out there, in order for Seymour to be around for a number of years, we had to come out with an offset shaft or a whistle shaft. We call it a whistle shaft because it's not a full offset. When our R&D guy was trying to tell Jim and Jason about the shaft, he kept on whistling, meaning moving his fingers with an offset and just whistle. And they kept on saying, well, why are you whistling? He says, well, it's just a hair of an offset. So our shafts have a little bit of an offset, but what that does, it allows that player to have his hands or her hands slightly forward at address position. Because if you look out there, the majority of the players right now, 60, 65% of them use some type of offset putter. But one thing what happens with an offset putter, you have a tendency to open your shoulders a little bit with your hands forward. And when you open your shoulders a little bit, everything is aimed to the left just a hair. So on a 10-foot putt, aiming left magnifies quite a bit. So by making that straight shaft, again, it brings your shoulders back into square and allows you to still release that putter head a little bit more. But we do understand that people want to have their hands forward. Now, saying that, we've had a lot of people that have taken an offset shaft and realized, okay, I understand what Seymour's talking about and why a straight shaft is much more effective because you don't have any variables. Therefore, you know, it's real easy for us. We're a simple company to work with. We reshaft that putter for them at a $25 charge, get it right back to them, and then they understand the benefits of having a straight shaft.
Gotcha.
This next question comes from a big Seymour fan. He actually goes by the name Seymour Guy. And his question is, do you have a separate design team to develop the new putters?
No, we actually, they come from Jim and Jason, our owner, and then Andre Shimaldris, our R&D director, along with input from guys out on tour. And, you know, we're such a small company. Again, it's easy for us to take as many thoughts, even from your viewers and readers. You know, anyone has a suggestion, once we get enough of, you know, that coming in, then, okay, then we might need to look at maybe this particular head shape or this particular head style or this material. But a lot of times it comes from Jim and Jason and Andre, and them just – Jim and Jason have been around for – and Andre have been around a number of years in the business. So they are pretty knowledgeable on what putters and putter sales should be like and how to go about it. But then also on the R&D side, it's nice for them to listen. They're open to listening to ourselves or y'all or – players from around the country or from around the world on different head shapes. So with that, they take it back to the California office and bat around ideas and come out with protos.
The last question is kind of a two-part long-winded question from Reader Smallville. And he said, are there plans for more of this classic design offset hosel in order to go after a larger share of the market, or does Seymour plan to go back to its roots and concentrate on the center shaft style? He's talking about the new DB4.
Yes.
And then he went on to say, You know, I didn't think the RST worked quite as well as this than on the traditional Seymours. I felt the red dot works better when it's on the putter head rather than where it is on the DB4. What has the feedback been to these putters now that they've been out for a while, and specifically the RST part, and in a broader sense, the putter itself?
That's,
I know that's a mouthful.
Question. No, that is an awesome question. And the DB4 has just been phenomenal, been hotcakes for us. I mean, it's hard to keep it in stock here. We can't make enough of them. But with that being said, again, that's a market that we've never tapped into. If you look out there in the college scene, the amateur ranks, even out there on the tour ranks, you have that answer-style type head that a lot of people use and like. With that being said, we needed to be in that market. So this is just a way for us to introduce Seymour and the RST, of them, again, being square to your intended target line, setting you up the same way, having you the same ball position, consistency, consistency, consistency. And with that, he is correct. Some people who have never seen Seymour before now have a head that they like, and then they're drawn to it, and they learn more about Seymour in that manner because they have a head that they want to look, touch, feel, practice with. Now, our true Seymour people, like Smallville there, it might not be as effective to form because he's so used to having it being on the head itself, and it is a little bit more effective when it's a little bit bigger, hiding that red dot and those two white lines. Plus, that's how Seymour was introduced, and that's the reason. Again, you can't go wrong with the simple model or the simple look of Seymour. It's that simple of a system of hiding the red dot and the two white lines. That DB4, again, brings in people into play a little bit more, sort of like the offset shaft brought in a few more people into play. Now we have such a much broader base in people looking and understanding Seymour. That's how our business is starting to grow a little bit more at a time. Answering his question about doing more models in that shape or in that next style, I think you might see maybe a few more, but I don't think we're going to ever go against our core model of having that dot and two white lines on the putter head itself. It's just it's proven. Two major winners. It's a system, again, that is so simple that you'll be leaving the store or the Florida golf outing that you just had, meaning, is it that simple to use the putter? Yeah, it takes care of 8 or 9 thoughts, puts you into maybe 2 or 3 thoughts, and you're off and running to improve your putting.
That may be
so that's
my
a great
problem
question by
because
him.
I'm usually thinking about groceries and dinner. And barbecue and things like that when I'm putting. That could be my problem. I have
always
zero
food
thoughts
on the brain.
Think all you got to do is think of 3 thoughts. Place the putter head down, aim it, and then the number, and then how hard you want to hit it. And I guarantee you, you'll have more putts go in than you do not go in.
I always have to think follow through. I have a problem where I jab at it and I don't follow through.
Yep.
So I always have to add follow through into my thoughts.
Well, and that's what we find, too, with a lot of people is that they're so used to having their hands forward, meaning the whistle shaft or even a major forward press, that all they do is push their putts. Mm-hmm. And with them pushing the putts, now, if you and I have the amount of time these tour guys have out on tour and girls out on tour that can hone that push putt 4 or 5 hours a day on the putting green, then it might work for them. But how do you know if you're really going to push the same way every single time? So if we can teach you to swing on a slight arc by hiding that red dot and learning you to release that putter head just a little bit, you're going to have the same stroke. You're going to do the same thing over and over and over again. So what you're going to learn, you're going to start learning more good putts than bad putts. And when you do make a bad putt, you've hit so many good putts, you can correct yourself right then and there and really don't need, hopefully, too many more putting lessons.
That wraps up the question section, but I have 2 questions for you myself that are serious and not about food. One of the things is the recent models that Seymour has put out seem to be very insert heavy, both the SI series with the inserts from that are, you know, a polymer type of insert, and the M series with what I believe is the aluminum insert. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because of the pedigree of the people involved on at the ownership stage of Seymour and, you know, their background, or is it just something that Seymour's been testing out and likes the way it seems to come out?
Well, the M series, the more the M7, 8, and 9 are more of almost like a prototype head. We know that that's not going to be our biggest seller, our best seller. But we want you to feel as if you want to purchase that Lexus car or that BMW car, you have the ability to do that. Fine craftsmanship, the fine material. The material is more expensive, so it's going to cost you a little bit more. Now, with that being said, the insert on the SI series is a polymer insert that has a little bit of a softer feel with the price point that is a little bit manageable for the average golfer out there. And we've heard from people in the past that they would like to see a Seymour putter with an insert. With that being said, a lot of people can't afford our milled series putters with that aluminum insert. So that's why we came out with that SI series. Has almost a softer feel, and then the look of the same head in the M7, M8, and M9. So I think where you're probably still going to see a little bit of that SI series evolved, you're still not going to, again, go away with the true putter head of what how Seymour got to the table of the simple blade look, the simple mallet look, again, all having the patented, you know, red dot and two white lines on the putter head.
With Seymour being a small company like you talked about earlier, and obviously there's people around the country that have not even heard of the brand, how do you get it in the hands of more young people for more visibility? Is it through the colleges or the junior programs?
Yeah, that great question, JB. When I started working here, one of the things, and I started in 2007, and the company was bought by the new owners in October of 2006. So we knew, or they knew, that they had an awesome product, and there was a way, there needed to be a way to get the putter out more visible, because at the time there's not a whole bunch of, again, advertising means or dollars. It's hard to go to the PGA professional who's already at the tour level and say, hey, you need my putter. And they look at you and go, well, I didn't need you when I got up here, so why do I need you now? So with that being said, where's the next viable great crop of players that can use the putter to help get them to the next level? That's when we started with our college program and simply going down, starting with the A's all the way down to the Z's, calling the college coaches and introducing ourselves of who we are, and hopefully that we can help improve your players' putting. We give them a means, a system to help improve their putting. And that college program has just blossomed into a number of top college prospects using the putter. We actually had three players make it to the final stage of Q School this past year who started with the putter, continue to use it. It's similar to how Zach and Bronny Baird and Vaughn Taylor has used the putter since Payne Stewart won with it in 1999. They understand that, again, it's a system. They're not going to throw the baby out with the bathwater. If they're going to have if they're going to have a bad putting round, they know it's not the putter. You know, they know they can get feedback on how to work on something. So with that being said, we try to instill that in the college coaches and to the college players. We go out to college events at their practice round and set up a bag just like we do at any tour event. Contact the club and the coach to see if it's okay and tell them about the Seymour putter. With that being said, we saw how much the college players have used it and want to get to the next level, mini tour, nationwide PGA Tour, and how much they succeeded with it. Well, what's the next level below them? Well, that's when the juniors come into play. So we started a junior tour staff on our website, have gotten quite a bit of top junior amateurs using the putter. Along with that, our lead instructor, our Seymour ambassador, Pat O'Brien out of Lakewood Country Club, I think he has the whole state of Texas filled with Seymour putters. He is probably the main guru in Texas and hopefully around the country in teaching putting. The system that we teach off of is what he learned from Payne Stewart and just using the putter himself. So with that being said, a lot of juniors are turning to us because they want to get to the next level. They want to be noticed by the coaches. You know, putting is not just something that you can just pick up a putter and go to putt-putt and try to make 18 holes and ones. It's something that you have to work on, just like you do with your driver or your wedge play or your fairway wood or your sand shot. Putting is the same way. If I can give you a system that puts you in the same place every single time, they understand what that does and how it can lead to them making more putts. And heck, if they make more putts, what happens? They win more tournaments. They win more tournaments. They get noticed by the top colleges and so on and so on and so on. And we found that they're not going to keep the putter away from their bag. They're going to keep it in. They understand that it's something, again, that they can work off of. It gives them a tool, a starting point, a place that now, instead of them going to the putting green and not knowing what to work on, they know what to work on when they have that putter in their bag.
You guys, the last question I'm going to ask is, you have something called the private reserve, and it's for, you know, people who want something a little different, you know, some things, this and that. Is it going to come to a point where you guys do custom stuff with colors and engraving and things like that? And if so, when can I have one?
And I know...
I knew that question was coming.
Well, you know, the private reserve was done out of, again, feedback from guys and girls out on tour. They liked this particular head, but they wanted in this finish or this line configuration. Or with a little bit of a, you know, edge cut off here. Well, again, being a small company, it's expensive to mill one putter head for that player. So, you know, we mill 25 or 30 heads at a time, and compared to our normal M series of 100 or 150 at a time. And then we keep them in our vault. So if that player now uses it and someone else sees it, then they might want to try it and see if it works for them. Well, we thought, well, why not give our customers the same benefit as our tour players do? So the tour treatment, hopefully, that they get out on tour, you get as well, not only come into the studio and get fitted for a tour treatment fit, even with the same putter heads that they use. So we have a few of those lying around in our vault. Hopefully one day it will be like you going to BMW and you can pick the color, you can pick the face, you can pick the line configuration, you can pick the etchings, and hopefully you can pick the insert if you want an insert, and then there's going to be at the end a picture of your putter. Might take about 3 to 4 weeks or maybe longer, maybe 3 to 4 months, but you'll get the putter that you desire and that you want. But hopefully that's another thing, along with those custom head covers that are down the road. Again, we're just trying to build share in golf shops and off-course shops and just trying to get the putter out of to as many people as possible. And you guys are doing that for us. Fantastic.
Well, you know, that's part of the reason that you guys build such a great product that makes it easy to talk about. My question to the listeners out there is, if by chance you are a safe cracker, please contact me because I want to get into their vault.
I figured you'd want to roll around in the vault.
Come on, Dale. Easy.
I want to roll around in the vault and enjoy myself in there.
Now, I have a question. This is something we talked about during the THP Florida Golf outing, and this question was asked all night long at our barbecue. What does MFGP stand for?
MFGP?
Yes.
The M stands for milled. So that's just how we distinguish the MFGP from the FGP. Now, FGP depends on what you – we've had a lot of people write in or call in to say their understanding of FGP.
Some of which are not as politically correct as others?
Yeah.
Probably, that is correct. It actually means featuring ground plumb. So when you hold that, think about it. When you hold that putter, if you look at Zach and when he holds that putter up to plumb line his line on his putt, that putter face is dead square at impact, where a lot of putters, when you hold it up like that, they don't sit dead square, meaning that, and maybe something good I show on video, that that putter face is going to come through at impact dead square every single time. Even though it's got a full toe hang, it's not going to fight you one way or the other when you make that stroke. It always wants to come square every single time. There's other putters out there that don't have that option, or meaning that they're a little bit heavier on one side than the other. I don't know. I'll probably not explain it very good to you and your listeners, but that's the reason FGP is featuring Ground Plumb, and that's the reason why people call it a freaking good putter. Other people call it other things, but that's the official wording of FGP.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it was said at our outing, was the others. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. We want to thank you for coming on today.
Yes, thank you so much.
It's always a blast chatting with you.
No worries at all. Well, thanks for having us on. We appreciate it, and looking forward to doing much more with you guys in the future.
Absolutely, and we look forward to having you down for dinner again and eating unhealthy food like ribs.
Yes, just make sure to keep that vault locked.
No worries. It's hidden away nice, and when I see him walking through the front door, I'll make sure we get it double bolted for you.
Yeah, hire some security that day.
Yeah, you may not see me. Just remember that. Thank you again, Ted. It's always a pleasure.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day. Thanks for having us on.
We want to thank Ted from Seymour Putters for coming on the show this week. It's always a blast having him on and being able to talk to Ted, because he has so much information.
He really does. I have one bone to pick with you, though, and I cannot believe that you brought up the ribs during that conversation. I think,
well,
you guys set me up.
There's no setup, but let's not forget something.
Yes.
Ted from Seymour Putters was our expert this week, was he not?
He was our putter expert,
no.
Not our food expert.
He was our expert this week. We asked him a simple question, and he gave you an honest answer, which, of course, him being the expert, makes it the real answer.
Right. Okay. I think that you guys had something set up from the very beginning.
I call shenanigans on you.
Whatever.
Earlier in the show, we discussed the contest we've been doing.
Yes.
And we've, you know, cooked meals every single week, which is painful. But
how is it painful? You sat there on the couch while I cooked them.
That is not true.
You grilled steak one night. That's right.
Yes. And we want to thank everybody.
Absolutely.
This was a lot of fun for us. And the next one, you know, is going to have to be deep fried.
No. I think we should do desserts.
It's possible. That's a possibility. We'll think about that one. But, you know, we want to thank everybody first off, because
yes,
there wasn't a bad one here.
No. We want to thank everyone that entered, all the finalists. Everybody, we had so much fun doing it, and I also enjoyed being able to cook things that I've never cooked before, and I actually got to use the crock pot, and I didn't burn anything.
Including the house down.
I know. No fires.
Well, we will post all the finalist recipes on the forum.
Yes.
And you'll be able to find that in the THP forum under THP Media. But why don't you, without further ado, announce the winner of the contest.
All right. The winner of this contest was Hawk308. And his dish didn't really have a name, but it was basically linguine with vegetables and chicken in a basil broth. And it was absolutely delicious.
I've come up with a name for it.
What?
And that is wholesome deliciousness.
Yes. It was so good. Even you liked it. It had vegetables, although I think that you
It was mushrooms and artichokes. I can deal with that.
Well, the peas you said next time
we had
to get rid of.
Yeah, the peas should be left at the grocery store.
No. They were good.
But the dish was phenomenal.
It was.
And we actually had leftovers that I've been nibbling at out of the refrigerator directly.
Yes.
And that will definitely be in our rotation, as will most of the others. I mean, this was a really, really good week of food.
It was. And the thing that I liked the most also is that we had so many different types of food, too. We had chicken dishes, pork dishes, beef dishes. We were able to mix everything up, and I was very pleased with it.
That's exactly right. So congratulations, Hawk308. You made me eat healthy food for one night.
And he liked it.
And I liked it. So we want to congratulate you. A THP prize pack will be headed out your way. And that wraps up our show. We ran a little long this week. We hope you guys can forgive us for that. But we'll blame Ted from Seymour, because he's right now trying to find a way to keep his vault locked.
Yeah, exactly. He's hiring a new security crew right now.
So from all of us over here playing from the rough, we hope you're keeping it in the short grass. Goodbye, everybody.